for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 31st, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the morning.
Well, we'll just let Brother George come back up here and just continue right on. Everybody is telling me how they've been blessed by his teaching every morning. And I tell you, I'm blessed to have him here to help. Bill's got all he can do without taking the morning pulpit as well. So we're thankful for Brother George.
I've got some things here that I'm going to hand out at the end. But I'm not going to give them out now because I know from experience that if I give you some things to look at now, you'll be looking at them and checking them over and won't be listening to me. So I'm going to be as wise as a serpent, as harmless as a dove this morning. I'm just going to tell you that I love you, that Jesus loves you. And as Rosalie hands you these little cards, it says, Jesus in me loves you. Well, not only does Jesus in me love you, but because what he's done in me, I love you too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope this will be a full course meal this morning. So I just simply want to start off with sharing with you something the Lord showed me about the cross. And it's a very lengthy teaching that I won't get into, but I'll just give you the highlights of it. The attributes of the cross. You know, Jesus didn't go to that cross just to be crucified, just to be killed. Everything there has a purpose. Everything. And we'll start with that crown of thorns that was placed on his head. There for a reason, there for a purpose. That was so that your minds could be free from the fiery darts, the lies, the deceptions of the devil. And isn't it amazing that the skull, the nerve endings in the skull are denser than anywhere else on the body? And I mean, you can feel just the prick of a pin anywhere. Just, you know, and there's places on your body you can touch it with the point of a pin and you won't even feel it because the nerves, the endings are not that dense. And so the mind, as we are told in the Word of God, the mind is the battleground. And I've got to hurry up with this so I can get in this other too. So that crown of thorns was so that your minds could be free from the darts and lies of the devil. And then as we see him on the cross there, as we just visualize and he's stretched out there, his hands were nailed to that cross so that your hands and arms could be free never to strike out in anger or animosity toward anyone, but only to reach out and enfold someone in love, to reach out with a helping hand to help someone. All of this is the change that the Lord coming into us, the change that takes place, makes quite a difference. So then what about his feet? His feet were nailed to that cross so that your feet could be free to simply stand your ground in the face of adversity, not move, or to either walk towards someone with the idea, the thought, the compassion, the love to help. Never to run from anyone in fear. Never. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Isn't that right, Brother Gene? He that feareth is not made perfect or mature in love. The little book of 1 John will tell you an awful lot about love. Then there's the sword in his side. The blood and the water comes out. Why blood and water? Simply because it's ordained of God so that we can see the need for both. The life is in the blood. Get the blood out of your body. Don't care how healthy you are, and you're going to die. The life is in the blood as it courses and flows through all the body. And the blood represents the Holy Ghost. Jesus said when he is come, the Holy Ghost will literally resurrect you out of death into life. Because without Jesus, everybody is dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, in the eyes of God, all those people walking around out there seemingly to be so much alive and seemingly to have so much fun, in the eyes of God, without that inner witness of the Holy Ghost, they're dead. So there has to be a resurrection. So when a person accepts the Lord, gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, he gets a literal spiritual transfusion of the blood of Jesus Christ that brings life to the spirit man. I like that kind of life. How about you? I've got life more abundant. I've got a better life at 71 than I had when I was 35. Glory. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, I thought I was having a good time, but I wasn't. Anxious, fretful, worried, sometimes bitter, sometimes resentful, sometimes hateful. You know, just a like everybody else, just a screwed up mess. But thank God for that supernatural transfusion of the blood of Jesus that brought life to the spirit man. And then the water. You say, okay, I know about the water. That's something you go down to the creek and you get baptized. No, that's not the kind of water I'm talking about. I'm talking about the supernatural water from the throne of God that is embodied in the Word of God. We are washed by the water of the Word. The Word is a washing agent. And you know, the devil, unclean spirits, like to keep us unclean. They like to keep us polluted. And so, demon spirits or thoughts or impressions will either keep us from the Word, or the Word will keep us from the devil. Now, which one are we going to choose, you know? Plain and simple. And the sooner that we can come to the realization of the truth of the Word of God, simple, downright truth, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You don't wrestle against yourself. You don't wrestle against another person. As soon as you can get that embedded within you, then the more able you're going to be to walk in peace and love and joy. So you've heard me say it, and I'll continue to say it as long as I live. Stop listening to your head and listen to God's head. Your head will lie to you. The devil is so crafty and cunning, he'll slam thoughts into your mind and make you think that they're your thoughts. But I so-and-so. Well, you just don't know what that person did to me, and I can't stand that person. You're deceived. That person had nothing to do with it. That's the reason the Bible says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That person, in his meanness, in his animosity toward you, is a deceived, beguiled, manipulated, used person. He needs Jesus. Follow Jesus through the Gospels and see what he did. See what he did. He stood before the Sanhedrin court, wrongly accused of everything. And he didn't go back out there and tell his disciples, boy, those people there are so doggone wrong and sorry. Man, they just don't know what's going on. I tell you what, I'm sure going to get even with... No, he didn't open his mouth. Didn't open... He knew who he was. Time we began to know who we are. Time for us to begin to realize who we are. And when I look at you, I see the very presence of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't feel like it. Who said you had to feel like it? When you think God is the furthest away from you, he hadn't moved. He said, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's right there, always. Always. And you are what God says you are. The minute that you are born again, come here, sugar. Come here just a minute. Come here. Come here. I'm going to love you, okay? Come here. Now, would you expect this little one? Would mother tell this little one, okay, you're able to get up and even dress yourself. Now go on out there and get yourself a good job and you know, go on, drive that car. And no, No, you wouldn't do that. Well, and when we come to the Lord, the Bible says, except you become as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom. So we've got to, irregardless of what we have learned, we've got to come back to that place of realizing, hey, as far as God's concerned, we don't know nothing. And start all over again with the Word of God. And little by little, we grow, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're not going to expect her to stay a little girl. Now, if in 3 years' time she hasn't changed a bit, it won't even take that long, just a little while for the mother who's sensitive and the dad, they're going to say, hey, we better look into this situation. I don't see some change taking place. Don't you think God looks at us when we don't change? We keep in a rut, you know, and what's a rut? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. We get in a rut and go ahead, sugar. Thank you. Very nice. We get in a rut and that's a grave with both ends kicked out and we just keep going and going and we don't grow. We don't mature. God gets concerned. And he'll bring about places like this camp in order to get us to a position of being able to grow and become more Christ-like. God's purpose is to make every one of us like Jesus. That's God's purpose. We are to be the reigners and the rulers, if you please, over this entire earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. I was standing down on the beach in Lake Worth, Florida, shortly after Mildred and I were married, about 18 years ago. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, do you see any holes out there? Well, there was little breakers rolling in about that high. It was a beautiful moonlight night. And I said, no, sir. He said, look again, are you sure? And I'm just standing there quietly, just waiting on the Lord, listening. And he said, look again. I said, I looked again. I said, no, there's no holes. He said, I just wanted to make sure, because just as that water covers the sea, all of that bottom out there, so my glory will fill this earth as the waters cover the sea. Doesn't the Bible say that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Well, we're either going to bow the knee to Jesus or we won't live out our expected time. We wonder why people are destroyed. There's only two reasons. Two reasons. That's all. If you can find any other reason in the Word of God, then please come and show me. I want to find out. One is rejection. The other is ignorance. We hear God's word, we hear what it says, and we reject that word. We will not walk in the truth of that word. And consequently, we suffer the consequences, problems and situations and disease and everything else comes. Or we're simply ignorant of the devices of the devil. And believe you me, he's got quite a number of them up his sleeve. Quite a number. He don't mind using any one or more of the five gates that go into your mind to slip in and gain access and control your whole being through your mind. The mind is the battleground. No other way. That demon spirit's not going to come up and grab you by the hand and twist it and twist it and say, all right, now, don't that hurt? Yes, it hurts. Okay, if you do so and so, I'll let up a little bit. No, he don't do that. He works right up here. So, now I'll start on what I was going to start on, 10 laws of spiritual warfare. 10 laws of spiritual warfare. And you'll have this whole sheet handed to you at the end of the session this morning so that you can take it home, and I've got a couple of other things up here. I want you to take it home, study it, meditate on it, look up the scriptures, and make of yourself, disciple yourself to become a better soldier in God's army. Soldiers, when a war starts, people are called into the service. In World War II, I was called in and I was given 6 weeks of boot training. Then I was given 6 more weeks of advanced training. Why? So that when I got over there into the wherever the battle was raging, I'd hopefully be able to save my life. God is putting us through some training. This is not the only training place around. There are other places, and God's going to raise up some more. We need to be trained on how not to be a slave to the devil. The only way we're going to do that is to learn how to conquer our mind. I can't conquer anybody's mind but mine. And if I try, in any sense of the word, to control or rule over another person, then I've missed it. God won't override your will in any way whatsoever. He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. That's the only thing that I can do, is to show you the way, teach you the truth, the word of God says, and say, okay, now it's up to you. You going to do it or not? It's up to you. Hallelujah. 10 laws of spiritual warfare. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:7 to start with. I know I won't get through all of this, but that's all right. Then you all can go through the rest of it later when you this afternoon, when you go home, or whatever. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And I will say again, I'm using the Amplified Bible, and it's going to have a little bit more wording, a little different than the others, especially the King James. But that's all right. Yours, the meaning is the same. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. That is, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith. Faith. God operates in faith. God's in from Genesis 1, God said, let there be. Let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And then he turns around and we get an explanation of that in Genesis chapter 2 when it says, while yet there was nothing on the earth. God had said, let there be this, that, and the other, but it wasn't there yet. God calls those things which are not as if they were. And that's what we're told to do. I was staying with my sisters years ago before my older sister died. And I got a telephone call one morning, and that particular time I had a stuffy head, just a nasty winter cold. Telephone was in my older sister's bedroom, and she called me in there and said, George, somebody wants to talk to you. And I picked up the phone. I said, good morning. And whoever, I don't remember who it was, they said, well, how are you, Brother George? I said, I'm fine. My sister's laying there on the bed, and she's looking at me frowning. Why? Because she was going by what her eyes saw and her ears heard. But I was simply going by the word of God, calling those things which are not as if they were. My thoughts were, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm complete in him. I'm not going to be ruled by that runny nose and stuffed up head and so on. Just like this morning, I woke up and I had a very, very sore throat. I'm not going to be ruled by that. I'm not going to, well, Brother Glenn, you'll have to get somebody else to take my place this morning. My throat's so sore, you know, I just, baloney. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Standing on the word of God. Is God a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent? No. Hath he not said it, and will he not do it? Yes. Well, if I'm joined to him, then I have a right and a privilege and an honor to say what he says. Glory. That's the reason I said I was going to sing this little chorus for Ed. That's the reason I can sing this little chorus. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus saved my soul. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. I got the love of Jesus down in my heart. I took the word of God, tore the devil apart. I feel better all over more than anywhere else since Jesus made me whole. You see, I feel better already by just singing that. Oh, glory. For we walk by faith. By faith. When you got up this morning, when you first awakened this morning, did you look down and say, well, let me see now, have I still got some feet? Let me slip this foot over there. Let me slip this foot down there and see if the floor is still solid. We operate in faith in so many different ways every day. If we would just stop and think about it, man, we live by faith. Some of you have driven your cars here this morning. Did you look under the hood to see if the engine was still there when you went out to it? Did you walk around and look at every tire and make sure that the tires are up and on there? Sometimes we do. Most of the time we don't. We just get in the thing expecting. We put the key in there, turn the thing on, crank it up, and go on. Why can't we learn to live with God in the Word, believing what He says in the same way, expecting God to do what He says He would do? He'll do it. Romans 1:17. Ooh, glory. I'm excited in the Lord. When you're walking with the Lord, you never get bored. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Romans 1:17. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live, and shall live by faith. Faith. Someone come up with an acrostic for the word faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Galatians 3, verse 11. Praise the Lord. Galatians 3:11. Now it is evident that no person is justified, declared righteous, and brought into right standing with God through the law. For the Scripture says, the man in right standing with God, the just, the righteous, shall live by and out of faith. And he through and by faith is declared righteous and in right standing with God shall live. Live. Not exist. Live. Too much of our lives has been spent existing from day to day to day. And because God made us in His image, and God never changes, He is a creature of habit. He never changes, but His habits are all good. Thus made in His image, our habits don't sometimes line up with the good things. We become habituated to things that actually harm us, and eventually will destroy us. How long do you think you're supposed to live? How many years in our time do you think you're supposed to live? According to the New Covenant, the New Testament, there is no limit. Under the New Covenant, there is no limit. We're not under the law, but under grace, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. Did Jesus do it all for us? According to Isaiah 53, He did. And we're told that we're to have life and have it more abundant. And the Bible says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. In other words, the longer you live, the stronger you're going to get. But Brother George, I don't feel. Who said you had to feel? As long as your feelings are going to rule you in any sense of the word, you will just simply not receive all the blessings that God's got for you. Feelings and faith are in opposition to one another. Faith says, I have it. Feeling says, oh, I don't have it. Faith says what God says. Well, the Bible says, if two of us agree on earth as to touching anything that we ask of the Father, it shall be done. And that doesn't mean if I come up and say, brother, would you agree with me and so? Suppose there's nobody else around. I have God. God's real, is He not? And His Word is Him talking. And if I see that scripture that says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, that's God talking. Okay, God, I agree with You. That makes two of us. That makes a majority as far as the forces of hell are concerned. So then, by faith, I have it. Hallelujah. The devil and all of his forces controlled me for over 40-some years. I was a fool for that taskmaster. And now all the rest of my life, these last 28 years right on, are going to do to be used to do everything possible to uncover every tactic and trick that I can of his and get him out in the open so we can kick him all over the place. Glory. We are to be the head, not the tail. We are to be above, not beneath. You ask someone, well, how do you feel today, Marcel? Well, under the circumstance. What do you want to do under the circumstances? Get on top of the circumstances. Put the circumstances under your feet. You'll pardon me if I get loud. I get so excited I can't shut up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, 38. Hebrews 10, 38. But the just shall live by faith. That is, my righteous servant shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. The holy fervor born of faith and conjoined with it, and if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. Faith. Faith. Faith says, I have it. Suppose I said, Ed, what's your most favorite automobile? Well, Ed said, okay, we'll just say Lincoln Continental. I said, okay, Ed, I'm going to give you a brand spanking new Lincoln Continental. Here's the key for it. I reach in my pocket and I pull out the key and I said, here's the key to that Lincoln Continental. But that Lincoln Continental is over there in Anchorage, Alaska. You got the key. Go get it. It's yours. When does he have the Lincoln Continental? I heard somebody say when he goes and gets it. No. He's got the key in his hand. That's it. He has the car. But he's got to exercise some faith and some willpower and some grit and some gumption and go get it. Same token. God says, here's the key to the storehouse of blessings in my kingdom. Here's the key. You've got it. You've got it. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Everything we do is by faith first, then fact. Faith produces. Faith produces. Faith and fear are in opposition to each other. Fear produces too. Fear produces bondage. Faith produces liberty. Freedom. Claim your authority over Satan by faith. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Five little short chapters there of 1 John. We'll look at the second, third chapter. 1 John 3:18. Little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. Faith and love work together. Faith and love. If you don't love God, you're not going to have faith in him. So just somehow get yourself to realize the greatness of God, the joy, the beauty, the holiness, the awesomeness of God. We are nothing, irregardless of who we think we are, irregardless of what we as individuals have accomplished. We are nothing more than a tiny, infinitesimal, invisible speck of dust. That if you get up there about 20 or 30,000 feet, we become invisible. You ever look out a plane at 20,000 feet and say, oh, that's Ed down there? No. The more that we can realize the greatness and the magnificence and the awesomeness of our God, then we can realize the blessedness it is of having him to come and indwell us. What privilege, what honor is bestowed upon us, Gene, that Almighty God, in His wisdom and in His mysterious way, could come and put Himself inside of this vessel. Glory. Colossians 2:15. Remember what I said about Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians? Take the first letter of each one. That's God's electric power company. Colossians 2:15. And maybe we'll get out of here for lunch by about 2:15. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians 2:15. God disarmed the principalities and powers ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him and in it, the cross. Now, if God disarmed the principalities and the powers, and we know that all sickness, disease, evil, and all of its many rampant ways come through the works of darkness, God's disarmed them, then if we become so God-inside-minded, so Word-minded, oriented by the Word of God, doesn't it stand to reason that we could walk in victory? No wonder Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, but we have the mind of Christ. Or get the mind of Christ is really what it means. Get your mind to be like the mind of Jesus. Well, Jesus said, in John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in, I think it's in verse 12, Gene, correct me if I'm, I think it's 12, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, again, Jesus said, what I have done, you will do. So if the Word is God, and the Word was made flesh, and Jesus said, now, okay, you do it, then the Word is to be made flesh in us. Isn't that correct? The Word is to be made flesh in us. So that when we come into any contact with the enemy, he doesn't see this old fleshly tabernacle. He sees the Word walking up there. And he knows the Word has defeated him. Glory to God. Luke 11:22. Yes, I've got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Luke 11:22. Well, let's back up to verse 20. But if I drive out the demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has already come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed, his property is at peace, secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his old armor on which he had relied, and divides up and distributes all his goods as plunder, spoil. Now, there are an awful lot of people today that are caught up in religion. And they are relying upon that religion. But all of a sudden, the strong man begins to operate. And so what do we see? The divorce rate in the Christian community, so-called, is getting just as bad as the divorce rate in the world. Why? Because what they've had in religion is being plundered by the forces of the devil. And their goods are being stolen from them. I have a young man living in my house right now. That young man just simply got out of religion, gave his life to Jesus. And his young little wife wouldn't follow along, so she stayed in religion, and consequently he's gotten kicked out. He's had to suffer for just being joined to Jesus. All of the possessions that they have worked for, they just don't amount to nothing anymore. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Not some little bit of it, but the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Matthew 28:16, I think this says. No, 18. Matthew 28:18. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus approached and breaking the silence said to them, well, most all the authority, pretty much all of it. Oh, I'm hearing some disagreement there. I better look at that again. Clean my glasses. All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Has, past tense. Not going to be, has been given. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Again, the Word of God says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he, God, will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. So if our enemies, disease, we're battling any of these things, we simply need to look in the mirror and say, okay, God, where am I missing it? The problem's not with God. God doesn't change. We want to think, you know, we want to think that we think. But most of the time, we don't do the thinking. Somebody else does it for us. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 16. Underline this scripture. Proverbs 16, verses 1 and 2 says this. The plans of the mind and orderly thinking belong to man. But from the Lord comes the wise answer of the tongue. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirits, the thoughts and intents of the heart. Spirits are thoughts. Thoughts are spirits. You ever run across somebody and they said, well, now, let me tell you what happened to me, Brother George. I was out there and this man was saying some unkind things to me. And you know, all of a sudden, my left hand just rose up and socked him in the jaw. Don't work that way. Has to get a signal from here. Neurons. And they are pulsating through this brain and they're going to every area of your body. And a lot of it is done without any cognizance on your part. Man that is fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't have to think, well, now, okay, heart, it's time to beat it. You know, come on, beat, beat, beat. No, it does it automatically. All through your body, there are things being done. Automatically, shall I say. Because that's the way God's created us. But there are also things that we do that are not done automatically. And yet there are times when we would think, well, that was just automatic. I really didn't want to say that. I really didn't want to do that. It just seems like it just automatic. No, it wasn't. You were manipulated and taken over and controlled by a spirit of, you can name your own problems, anger, bitterness, resentment, unbelief, doubt, fear. I mean, you can make a list that long. Learn who your enemy is and learn how not to be manipulated by him. Conquer your mind and you conquer the devil. If you don't conquer your mind, then the devil will conquer you in some area. Mark 16:17, that's another good one that says some things about the enemy. We'll leave that Proverbs alone for the time being. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. How many millions of believers are there, but there's no attesting signs following them? If believers today, I mean, if all believers today that are believers would all of a sudden just like that do what the Word of God says, I mean, the earth in itself would be transformed. Because there's believers all over the world. But believers are not doing what the Word says. And it says, in my name they will drive out demons and they will speak in new languages. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. I'm a believer and, you know, I just can't believe it in these so-called demon things, you know, that you're talking about. Well, if you get them out of your mind get your mind with some light in it, then you'll begin to see the reality of it. And this thing about talking in tongues, speaking all this gibberish, this, you know, who ever heard of doing anything like that? Well, you are a spirit being. You believe that? You know, the Bible says spirit, you're to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit being. And doesn't it make sense if God resurrects that spiritual man out of death into life with himself? Wouldn't you think that God would like to hear that spirit man talk a little bit? We've got an awful lot of believers, been believers for 40 years, and the spirit man sitting back over there in the corner with a gag on, can't say a word. And he's just struggling. He says, oh, but I want to say something to God. And that natural, no, I don't believe in that stuff. But I want to talk to God. No. You know, we'll just talk in English. And the spiritual man is just simply bound up and sitting over there in the corner waiting for somebody to come along and pound some truth into that head so that the mind will get out of the way and let the spirit man come forth and pray. And so on. Well, I didn't go to no school to learn. No, you don't have to learn that language. There are over 30,000 known languages in the world today and an awful lot that's even gone. And even if there was all used, you don't think that God could make a new one in the snap of a finger? Is anything too hard for God? No. No. Not at all. But God does want you to get loose from tradition, to get loose from unbelief, to get loose from bondage, and be free and pray in the Spirit. How far do you think your automobile would go if you didn't have a little gizmo under the hood down there with a belt? Every time the engine cranks up, that belt starts turning that little thing. It's called an alternator. And oh, years ago, we called them generators. And that's automatically putting power back into the battery so that it'll continue to operate. Praying in the Spirit is that alternator. It empowers. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, it says in Jude. The more you pray in the Spirit, the less likely you are to listen to what your head says. Praying in the Spirit. Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, my understanding is unfruitful. Don't make any difference. I will pray in the Spirit, and I'll even sing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Some friends of mine were in a charismatic meeting some years ago, and they had a big choir. And they began to praise and to worship the Lord, and they had a little, the music director was had a little time there, and he began to pray in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, the whole choir started praying in tongues, all of them praying in the same language, dialect, whatever you want to call it. Absolutely beautiful. None of them knew what they were saying. They were just being touched by the Spirit of God. That was the gift of tongues coming forth, which is different from the prayer language that each individual receives individually. The prayer language or the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the gift of tongues in operation. The gift of tongues comes after you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost and after you begin to pray in your prayer language. Then it's times when God will operate through you with the gift of tongues and somebody else with the interpretation, or he may operate through you with the tongues and interpretation. And maybe he wants to operate through you with some of the other gifts. I frown when I hear somebody say, I have the gift of healing. I have the gift of healing. Oh, I have the word of knowledge, Brother George, and I want to tell you this is what God, thus saith the Lord. I say, okay, fine, I'll set it on the shelf. If it's God, fine. If it ain't, I ain't listening to it. I frown when somebody says, I have such and such. I have the giver. I've got Jesus. And Jesus has got me. According to John 14:20, he said, at that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And that's the only thing I want. I simply want to give more of myself to him and let him do with me whatever he wants. If it's a word of wisdom, fine. Okay, God, here's my mouth. Go ahead and speak it. First time I ever came here, wintertime, 16, 17 years ago, I guess. There was no Sunday meeting here at that time. And Brother Gunn told us about a little church over here somewhere, a little holiness Pentecostal type church. And we went over there. And never saw the pastors before in my life. And we're sitting there, and the pastor points back there to me after the singing and praise and the worship. He said, "You come on up here and share with us this morning." Okay? And I wasn't standing behind that pulpit 2 minutes, and all of a sudden a sharp, hard pain hit me in the chest, reverberated down my left arm. Well, now, if I'd have been in the natural, I'd have said, "Oh, my God, I'm having heart attacks." I simply stopped and I said, "Somebody in here has been having some trouble with their heart." And the man right here on my right in the front row said, "Oh, that's me." He was having a pretty rough time. Without going into detail, I said, "Come on up here. I want to pray for you right now. God's shown me about this, so I'm going to pray for you right now." I laid hands on him, prayed for him. He went on back and sat down. God healed the man. God totally healed him. I didn't find out till days later. Didn't pay any attention to it. I can't heal anybody. But God can heal anybody of anything. One of the most fantastic testimonies I've ever heard, other than a person being raised from the dead, of a lady that had both breasts removed, operated on for cancer of the brain, siphoning out her brain cells, and 13 holes drilled in her skull. Right at death's door, sent home to die, took her to a Catherine Kuhlman meeting at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, California. And in due time, Catherine says, "There's a lady right back there in that section that God's healing of cancer." Alice Patico says, at the moment that she said that, it felt just like somebody poured a bucket of warm oil all over me. God totally recreated everything that the cancer had destroyed, including both breast. Supernaturally recreated that bone, that skull, where it had been taken out. Is anything too hard for God? Religion will cause us to relegate God to some way off entity in the sweet by and by. No, I like the sweet now and now. And as a little boy with that great big old sucker said, "Oh, it gets gooder and gooder." Hallelujah. Ephesians 1. If you haven't read the little book of Ephesians lately, you might need to read it 4 or 5 times. Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 23. Well, let's read, start with 19. "So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, and who fills everything, everywhere, with himself." Wow. "According to the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe." In and for us who believe. Hey, we're not some little old namby-pamby wimpy things. Glory to God. God, have mercy and help us to come to that place of knowing who we are in Christ. In Jesus, I am totally undefeatable. In Jesus, I have fullness of joy. Brother George, you don't never feel sad, despondent, and despairing. I don't like the three D's. Despondency, discouragement, and despair. I don't want nothing to do with those. By the grace of God, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. You mean when you go fishing and y'all don't catch anything, you still feel good? Absolutely. Thank God they're there for tomorrow. Didn't catch them today? Fine, I'll have some fun tomorrow, next week, next month. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6. But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him. For it is by grace, by His divine favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. And He raised us up together with Him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with Him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So where are you today? Oh, we're sitting in this chapel at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. No, you're not. You're seating in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and everything that's named. We sing songs like we're more than a conqueror. We sing songs like, oh, victory in Jesus. Then we turn right around and we get away from here a little bit and the first little thing happens, oh, my goodness. Do you know what the devil wants more than anything else? He wants recognition. He wants to be glorified. He wants praise. The biggest slap in the face that you can give him when he begins to hound you in any way whatsoever is to start praising the Lord. Just start praising the Lord. Draw nigh to God. Oh, glory to God. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, Lord. That tire's flat. It just blew out. Glory to God. I just thank you, Lord. I know that you got a new one for me. That old one in the trunk ain't too good, but it'll get me where I'm going, and I know you got a new one for me. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In everything, give thanks. Isn't that what the Word says? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think back one time I had a 34 Chevrolet coupe. I guess that was the first car I ever owned. And I'm going to Jacksonville from the little fishing village of Mayport, and there's a curve where I had to turn to the right, just a slow curve. And just as I got to that curve, I'm doing about 40 miles an hour, man. I'm speeding. And both the left front tire blew out, and almost instantly the right one blew out, and I've got no front tires at all. And I'm hanging on to that wheel, scared to death to slam the brakes on, don't know what's going to happen. It goes across the highway. The Lord was just merciful. Back then there wasn't hardly any cars. But it wound up right alongside the ditch on the other side of the road. No problem, just, you know. And so many times I could write a book on close calls I've had with death and with being hurt, and God has been merciful and brought me through all of it. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. And the joy of the Lord come down. And the joy of the Lord is all around. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then Jesus called together the 12 apostles and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Oh, well, that's just the apostles. Oh, yeah, Sandy, you mean I'm wrong? Thank you, dear, for correcting me there. And He sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. And He said to them, do not take anything for your journey, neither walking stick nor wallet for a collection bag, nor food of any kind, nor money, and do not have two undergarments, tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you go away from that place. And wherever they do not receive you and accept and welcome you, when you leave that town, shake off even the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And departing, they went about from village to village, preaching the gospel and restoring the afflicted to health everywhere. Again, Jesus said, what I've done, you will do. The 12 apostles were just forerunners to show us what Jesus did and would do through believers. And he says, now, you do the same. Brother George, I just couldn't do anything like that. Well, as long as you have that kind of attitude, you need to die. You need to die. I don't mean physical death, I mean die to self. Just get yourself out of the way. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. So you have need for strength, you have need for boldness, you have need, go to God. Go to God. God, I can't, but you can. Somebody would have told me 35, 40 years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing today. I'd have said, you're absolutely nuts. You're out of your mind. I don't even like to go in a restaurant and sit down. Somebody might watch me eat a hamburger. No, I'll just stay by myself. I'll just be a crabber, a fisherman, or whatever. Little by little, God began to change my life, even before I totally said, okay, God, you can have the rest of it. Change me. Now I just enjoy the most being around people and getting to talk about Jesus. Talk about the Word. Talk about Jesus. He's my rock. Well, I'll give you all a break and sing you another little song. Talk about Jesus. He's my rock. Talk about Jesus. He's my rock. Talk about Jesus. He's my rock. And I know he lives within me. And I know he walks beside me. He's my rock. He's my rock. He's my rock. Ezekiel saw him standing in the middle of the wheel. And John wrote about him in the book of the seven seals. They call him the Rose of Sharon. They call him the Lily of the Field. But I call him Jesus. He's my rock. He's my rock. He's my rock. These kids ain't got a thing on me. I'm a rock fan too. Woo, glory. Allie. Woo, glory. I got to get this jacket off. I'm getting too hot. Spirit of God moves. Glory. All right, Luke 10, 17, 18, and 19. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now it's 70. It was the 12 apostles. First it was Jesus, then it was the 12. Now it's the 70. And he said to them, I saw Satan falling like a lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Nothing shall in any way harm you. Yes, I like that. I don't like to be harmed. Do you? Do you like life and that more abundantly? Psalm 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. No, when your mind is renewed in, by, and through the Word of God, you will act upon the Word of God. Your conduct will become like God. And you'll walk in victory. You will walk in victory. True character is revealed when we come face to face with adversity. If your character doesn't radiate the life of Jesus, then get rid of it. Get rid of it. Kick it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something else I wrote in here that I want to share with you all this morning, somewhere. Success is not measured by our accomplishments, but by our obedience. We can be successful in this life. It's all up to us. Again, we just simply need to really tune in to Isaiah 53. Maybe from several different translations. get an in-depth meaning of all that it says that Jesus did for us. By his stripes we're healed. According to the medical profession, there are 39 known categories of diseases. That covers the whole gamut. There were 39 stripes put on the back of Jesus. One stripe for every known category of disease. So there's nothing left out. And God can heal whatever, just as easy as he can heal a sore toe, bad cold. And God has done it all. And now, it's up to us. It's up to us. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this man Christ? Take him at his word? Or believe what your head says? Take God at his word? Or believe what your feelings are trying to say? Ignorance or rejection? One or the other keeps us from enjoying the fullness of all that Jesus has done on the cross for us. I, for one, intend to rise above every situation, circumstance, problem, or whatever, and walk in victory. And I need some agreeing partners. Do I have some agreeing partners? And I'll agree with you to do the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you see, we just got started in this thing, so that's the reason that I said I'm going to let everybody have one of these. You can take it home with you and study all the other things. We didn't even really get through number one. There are 10 laws of spiritual warfare, claiming your authority over Satan by faith. We still got a couple of scriptures to go, and yet now we've, you know, that's the reason I said by 2:15, maybe 4 o'clock or something like that, we might get through all of it. But you can take it home with you. Now, Joel, Rosalie, and I need one more, brother. Here, just make sure everybody gets one of these. Hallelujah. This is like going to and getting a real good meal, and you say, oh, that's so good, I want one of those little containers, I want to take my leftovers home. So you can take the leftovers home with you, and you know. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And let me say, while they're doing that, it's been such a joy to be here with y'all. And I thank Brother Glenn and Sister Irma for hearing God and asking me to come back out here and buying me a plane ticket and sending it to me. I have thoroughly enjoyed just being here and meeting all of you people. Well, not I haven't met all of you, but most of you. Talking with you. Some of you being able to listen to for a little bit. And we'll continue to be very prayerful. Just make just a few more minutes, and I just sense the Spirit of God want me to pray for 2 or 3 people here. You, come up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Y'all just reach your hand out and stand in faith with me. Father, I just thank you for this mother. Father, I bless her in the name of Jesus, and I ask God that you strengthen her, meet her every need. And Lord Jesus, give her the courage, the wisdom, and the knowledge, Lord, to continue to just raise these beautiful children. Lord, that they would come up knowing the Word of God. And Lord, that they would just simply be the handmaidens of the Lord. I thank you for this handmaiden. Father, I bless her in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to keep ministering angels encamped all about her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ed, after I pray for Ed, I'd like for you to bring those 3 children up here, too. Thank you, Lord. 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 Father, I just thank you for this precious man of God. And Father, you know the situation, the circumstance of this body. And Lord, we speak healing right now. We say, by the stripes of Jesus that you are healed. I command this hip and this back, I command it in Jesus' name to come in line with the Word of God. Every joint, every disc, every ligament, every muscle, every sinew, every cell. In Jesus' name, we rebuke the spirit and we command it on the authority of the Word of God. Leave him, you crippling devil, you won't do it to him. In Jesus' name, be healed, be made whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name.
Oh, I receive it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Let me have these three little ones right quickly. Come on, girls. Come on up here now. Come on. Oh, I just fell in love with all three of you. My sakes. And when, what did this little one, what did you say? What did you say yesterday? Oh, I'm just a little old blabbermouth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I just bless these precious, beautiful little girls. And Lord, I ask you to help this little one, Lord, as she is transformed by the renewing of her mind and more as she grows in your word. Lord, give her that holy boldness to continue to be, in her words, a little blabbermouth. Talking about Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I bless them in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm by faith, as I just lay hands on these little brains, these little minds, Lord, I leave a shield of faith. By faith, I leave a shield of faith on them in the name of Jesus. And I give you the praise and the glory for it, God. Amen. From this moment on, now remember what I said, call those things which are not as if they were. From this moment on, say, my husband is saved. Say it. My, you hear that? You agree with her? Hallelujah. Her husband saved. Boy, that's good news, isn't it? Glory to God. Glory to God. And he's on the way. Don't you think that God ain't moving in your behalf right now. Right now. Father, in Jesus' name, with the agreement of everyone that's here, we come against this allergy stuff. We rebuke and bind this force in the name of Jesus. And we loose the healing power of God to flow right into them right now. And we speak to these allergies and we say in the name of Jesus, get out. Get out of their presence. Get out of their wherever they might be. You just leave them alone, because by the stripes of Jesus, they're healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And from now on, husband is saved. By your words, you're justified. And from now on, irregardless, no allergies. Just simply say, in Jesus' name, they're healed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you, Lord, for the position that you've got him in right now. And Father, I ask that the blessings of the Lord, that the gates of heaven be opened and the blessings of our God be poured out upon him. Lord, bless. Bless, O God. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you for the blessings to come flowing toward this family. Glory to God. You know their needs. You know their desires. And Lord, your word says, oh God, if we would simply delight ourselves in you, if we would commit our way to you, that you would give us the desire of our heart. And Lord, I know that this couple, Joel and Melody, are committed to you, and little Joel too. And Father, I bless them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you and give you the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where is Rosalie? Oh, glory. And the glory of the Lord came down, down, down. And the glory of the Lord came down. You better hurry up and get up here and get this blessing. Okay, okay, in a minute. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this precious little gal. Glory to God. You know that in the coming days, God, what she's looking forward to. Father, we ask that your strength and your wisdom and your understanding be imparted to her. We thank you, God, for her work here and with the songs, God, on the screen. And Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. And Father, I know that we will all agree together, and we ask that you keep ministering angels encamped about her. God, we just put a protection of faith over this mind. And Father, we ask that you give her a hunger for your word as never before. But Lord, don't only do that for her, do it for all of us. Give us a hunger for your word, O God. Only those that have the word within will stand. Thank you, Lord. Bless her now, Lord, from the top of her head to the very soles of her feet, in Jesus' name. Amen. For 2 cents, I'd take her home with me. Well, glory, Lord. Who else now? Who else? All right, come here, Sandy.
Hallelujah.
Come here, Sandy. If any of the rest of you have a very special need that you know, as the Lord leads you, just come on up here and I'll agree with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, this woman is concerned about her father, her earthly father. And Lord, I don't pray for Sandy. I pray for her dad right now. And Sandy's in proxy for her dad. And as I lay hands upon this one, God, I want you, Father, to lay hands upon her father right now. Father, bring deep conviction upon her dad that he will turn to Jesus. And then, Father, I ask that you give Sandy a holy boldness to be filled with your love and peace and joy. And that she'll be that shining light when she goes back. That wherever she goes, God, that she's just simply going to be a light for you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done with her and through her and in her during this camp meeting. We know that she's not leaving like she came.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord, we just know that. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory. It's all yours. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Dad.
I just visited a lady some years ago, and the Holy Ghost rose up in me, and I prayed for her, and the Spirit of God, the power of God hit that precious woman, and she just went back like that and bounced off of the floor, and it didn't hurt her one bit. He doeth all things well, right? Well, let me get all of you to stand to your feet. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You better stand up back there, Bruce. Glory to God. All right, knowing now that the Word of God is true, and that we believe the Word of God, and Jesus said, I didn't say it, Jesus said that by your words you're justified, and by your words you are condemned. In other words, we do to ourselves. We either justify ourselves or condemn ourselves. So let me just lead you in this little, whatever you want to call it. It's just a statement, not necessarily a prayer. But learn to disciple yourselves to begin to say the right things. Okay? Say this with me. Lord Jesus,
from this day forward,
I will endeavor.
I will do my best
to say those things that justify me. I will disciple myself to walk more in obedience to your word. I ask your help, O God. I ask you to keep ministering angels around me. Follow me everywhere I go. And Lord, if I'm walking wrong or doing wrong, correct me. Cause me to walk as you walked in obedience that I might enjoy the blessings of my God. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in my life and all that you're going to do. I give you the praise and the glory for it. And from here on, I'm going to call those things which are not as if they were. I won't talk to you about my problem. I'll talk to my problem about you. And I'll tell the problem where to go. And I will just have relationship, communion with you. I thank you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.